In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Welcome to Alive. Thank you for joining me. It's Claire here. Somebody asked me the other day how long I've been doing this. It's actually 13 years. I did it for 11 years with the late and great Gary Menzies, and of course I've done it for the last 2 years since Gary tragically passed away nearly exactly 2 years ago. So please pray for Gary, and if you want to offer up a mass for his soul, I'm sure he'd be very grateful. Now, last week we listened to the beginning of a talk by Dr. Brian Close. He's a very famous American. He's written lots and lots of books. One of them, in fact, I came across many, many years ago, and I was really taken with it. And we were very fortunate to have him at the Splendor of Truth conference in New Zealand in Auckland in October of last year. So this talk is called The Population Control Agenda. Now, basically, what he was saying, it's an imperial land grab, a new form of colonization, going back to the late 1800s, when Africa was simply carved up, lines were drawn, just straight lines, nothing to do with geographical features or anything, and parceled out to different countries. And all of those resources came under the jurisdiction of those countries. So, without further ado, I think we'll just get straight on to Dr.
Marie Stopes itself has boasted that we do illegal abortions all around the world. And I have a video of Paul Corlinson of South African MSI admitting this. So what are the population controllers afraid of? This lovely young man here, a Harvard professor named Lothrop Stoddard, wrote that none of the colored races shows perceptible signs of declining birth rate. They all tend to breed up to the limits of available food. This can mean only one thing, a tremendous and steadily augmenting outward thrust of surplus colored men from overcrowded colored homelands. Crossings with the Negro are uniformly fatal. Whites, American Indians, Asians are wiped out by the invincible prepotency of the more primitive, generalized and lower Negro blood. In ethnic crossings, a Negro strikingly displays his prepotency, for black blood, once it enters a human stock, is never really bred out again. This was written in 1922 in a book called The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. And the reason I quote this racist eugenicist professor is he was Margaret Sanger's number one advisor. He sat on the board of the American Birth Control League, which became Planned Parenthood, for more than 10 years. His name is listed in the Birth Control Review for more than 10 years as Margaret Sanger's number one advisor. This is where she got her ideas from. Lothrop Stoddard, as you can see on the left there, the book The Rising Tide of Color shows a stereotypical African with a spear, the threatening Asian with a knife. On the right, it's even cruder. The Revolt Against Civilization, The Menace of the Underman, a book he wrote a few months later showing Africans as Molotov cocktail-throwing monkeys. The racist philosophy never has been disavowed by Planned Parenthood. And I have many other quotes like this. Both of these books, by the way, the complete text is on the DVD. Now, what they're afraid of is a demographic cross, the white race dying out, and other races rising again. Look back in 1950, Europe was relatively densely populated with more than one-fifth of the world's population. Africa was virtually empty with 9%. But even then, Africa was beginning to accelerate in its population growth. Europe had already leveled out and was starting to decline. For the first time in history, 20 years ago, they crossed over and had identical populations. Now the UN projects that by the year 2050, Africa will have one-fifth of the world's population, and Europe will only have 8%. So they will have crossed over, Africa is gaining tremendous power, and if they can kick out the population controllers and overcome their own political corruption, Africa will lead the world by 2050. This is what I tell the Africans, and I've been to Africa many, many times. This is what the population controllers are afraid of. The white race is dying out. 1 million fewer every single year. And we look at the attitude of the population controllers. We see sub-Saharan Africa, 40 people per square kilometer. It's almost empty. You can fly at a low elevation for hours and rarely see a person in sub-Saharan Africa unless you're around the big cities. And we think this is very overpopulated. But you look at Western Europe with 4.5 times as many people in density, no problem. In Zimbabwe, for example, in South Africa, 44 people per kilometer, and they have more than 40 population control groups there. But in England, they have 10 times as many people, and nobody talks about overpopulation. It's only overpopulation if it's Africa or Asia, the Caribbean, or Latin America. We hear the lie often that, we hear this all the time from the patrollers, if your country has too many people, you're going to be poor. That's exactly the reverse of the truth. The reason that Africa is poor is because we're pillaging its natural resources. I tell the Africans in the coastal countries, go on down to the big ports like Lagos. You know, go on down to Cape Town. You can watch these big ships coming in, and they're riding very high in the water. Their red paint is 10 meters above the water, the anti-corrosion, you know, anti-barnacle paint. But when they turn around and they leave, you can't see any of the red because they're riding low in the water. They're full of your natural resources. And this is often done through corrupting the politicians. This, as you can see, is North Korea and South Korea. North Korea only has about 200 people per square kilometer. South Korea has 2.5 times as many people in density. Guess which one is poor? It's North Korea. They're poor not because they don't have resources, but because they have an insane dictator who spends all of his money on defense. The most densely populated countries in the world are the richest, and South Korea is one of these. If we look at population control dollars spent per person over the past approximately 30 years, we see more evidence of this kind of racism. $0 in North America and Europe. We've already drunk the Kool-Aid, as we say. We've already bought the lie that children are a burden. Then we have $9 per person in South America and the Middle East, $6 per person in Asia, and $19 per person in Central America. Here's where it gets interesting. In Oceania, it's $106 a person, the highest in the world. And this is almost all directed against the original peoples of these nations. The aboriginal people, like the Maori and others, are targeted for population control. Africa, $70 per person, $76 per person in the mostly black Caribbean nations. It's what we call the axis of oppression. We're not giving them better health care or better roads, better schools or anything like that. We're just telling them to hold down their populations. So what's their goal? Worldwide sterility for as long as possible. The current population of the world is 7.5 billion. According to the population control people, they want to take it down to 250 million, a 97% decrease for the good of the environment, for the good of humanity. So what we need here is Thanos, like in that Avengers Infinity War movie with his gauntlets. He just snaps his finger and 97% of the people disappear. Well, these guys are not doing it painlessly like Thanos did. They're doing it slowly in these developing countries. They would like to eliminate 32 out of every 33 people in the entire world and reduce us to 250 million people. So who are the population control non-governmental organizations? Some of these cultural death groups in New Zealand, Family Health International, Population Research Bureau, the Guttmacher Institute, Population Services International, United Nations Population Fund, ICMA, International Women's Health Coalition, Advocates for Youth, which pushes sex education, the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts, Rainforest Alliance and International Planned Parenthood Federation. Every single one of them pushes population control. Some, like Planned Parenthood and UNFPA exclusively, others, like the Girl Guides and the Rainforest Alliance, do it as a tangential part of their work. But they're all tied up in this population control agenda. How do you use the Facts of Life DVD to identify these groups? This is what you see when you open up the DVD. Click on contents.xls, and then you click on the spy for dossiers on more than 2,000 anti-life groups. Then you see this screen here. Click on Oceania, and you see the various countries represented here. Click on the flag map of New Zealand, and you'll see a list of the groups that are involved in population control, the homo groups, the radical environmentalist groups, the euthanasia groups, and so on, here in New Zealand. If you want to find out more about International Planned Parenthood Federation, just click there, and you'll see information, a 40-page dossier on where they work, the members of the IPPF, their manifestos and letters, their publications, their quotes, their incomes, and foundation grants to the International Planned Parenthood Federation. So all the information you really need to know to talk to a doubting person is on here about IPPF and all of these thousands of other groups as well. So now on to the primary motivations behind population control. There are five, and I'll only have a time to talk about one of them. Greed is paramount. Racism, environmentalism, fear of famine in the West, and self-hatred, the idea that human beings are a plague on the earth. The first motivation, the most important, is greed. This is a top-secret document that's also on the DVD, entitled National Security Study Memorandum 200. This was written by Henry Kissinger, who, believe it or not, is still around. He's 95 years old. Who wrote this for President Richard Nixon back in 1974. So he was the Secretary of State. This was done in cooperation with the National Security Council, the highest decision-making body in the United States. NSSM 200, subtitled Implications of Overseas Population Growth for United States Security Interests. This was declassified in 1989. I don't think it was ever supposed to be declassified because the information it has inside it is absolute dynamite. So what's the primary motivation? It's not holding up the population's standard of living. It says that the U.S. economy will require large and increasing amounts of minerals from abroad, especially from less developed countries, what they call LDCs. Whenever we can lessen population pressure through reduced birth rates, we can increase the prospects for such political and economics, and population policy becomes relevant to the resource supplies and the economic interests of the United States. So we have a very high standard of living in Europe and North America and some other countries, but we don't have enough natural resources to be able to sustain it. So we have to be able to access these natural resources from other countries. That's what this is all about. The nations targeted by name are those that are most rapidly growing, as you can see here, mostly in Africa and Asia. Ethiopia, Egypt, Bangladesh, Nigeria, Pakistan, Philippines, Thailand, and Turkey. 13 nations, but all developing nations are being targeted by this structure of population control.
Okay, we're going to stop there. It is 3 o'clock and it's Divine Mercy Hour. Now, this is a very abridged version of the prayer that our Lord gave Saint Faustina all those years ago. So it's called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there is a fantastic organisation in Auckland, Family Life International, that you can ring, and there's always someone at the end of the phone to give you some help and advice. Now, the Auckland number is 09 629 4360, or you can ring the free calling number 0800 367 5433. Fantastic organisation. They do so much good around the movement. They are actually at the forefront. So fantastic job. I think we'll just get straight back to Dr. Brian and hear about Henry Kissinger's plan to take the resources from the third world.
For example, in Tanzania, look how the population control expenditures have expanded tremendously in the past 25 years or so. $11.1 million in 1991, then under Obama at Holdren's advice to over $500 million a year. How much good could all of this money do if it was put into, as Pope St. John Paul II called it, authentic economic development? In Tanzania, we spent $5.5 billion. In Africa, in 2016 alone, $6 billion. In Africa, nearly $72 billion. If you went to one of the poorest countries of the world, like Haiti or Mali or Chad, you could bring that entire country up to first world standards of $72 billion. But instead, as I say, all we've done is make large poor families into small poor families. It's all been completely wasted. The biggest population control donors, by far, the United States, $76 billion, the UK, $16 billion, and so on. You can see that these organizations in these countries that get the most benefits from the natural resources are the ones that put the most money into population control. It's a lot of money, but it's a very good investment. Very good investment indeed. LBJ, Lyndon Johnson, said, less than $5 invested in population control is worth $100 invested in our economic growth. $20 you get back for every dollar you put into population control. So, of course, it's a great deal for the United States, not so much for Africa. $162 billion of all types of economic aid and into Africa every year. $203 billion goes out, which means we're extracting $41 billion a year from this continent in the form of natural resources and monetary instruments. So we are bleeding Africa dry. It's not poor because it lacks natural resources. Africa has more natural resources than the rest of the world combined. It's poor because it's corrupt. If you even drive through a country like I was recently, Tanzania, you know, the cops will stop you and they'll look at your taillights, and if there's any problem with your fire extinguisher, your decals are 2 centimeters out of whack or anything like that, you have worn down, windshield wipers, they'll get you for something. There's no way that they're going to let you go, and you pay the money right on the spot for them to let you go. Otherwise, they'll say, pull over the side of the road there and let you sit there for the next 2 weeks. They don't care. But these cops only make about $2 a day. So how are you supposed to raise a family on $2 a day? The system itself forces people to be corrupt. And, of course, at the top, it's even more corrupt. In Africa, usually the most vicious, violent thugs are the ones who are elected because they're the ones who can spread out the money. And once they become president or prime minister, they can pillage the national treasury. This happens constantly in Africa. They have to get rid of this corruption. So how does the money flow? From the developed countries like the Benelux, France, you have the UK, Japan, Germany, and the US. Developed world governments have to filter it or launder the money through the big population control groups like DKT International, Family Health International, Marie Stopes, and Medecins Sans Frontières. And this goes on to Kenya, goes on to Mali, the Philippines, Nigeria, and so on. Because you cannot give money directly to these countries or you will be accused of racism and imperialism. So they have to launder it through the big NGOs. And what they do, these groups like IPPF or Marie Stopes come into Nigeria, let's say, and they go to Abuja, the capital city, and they establish themselves. But they're not going to have a British or a Canadian man head up that affiliate of IPPF. They're going to hire a Nigerian, pay them a huge salary, so a Nigerian face is telling other Nigerians to stop having children, not a white man or a white woman. It filters out the possibility of being accused of racism. NSSM 200 talks about this. There's a danger that some lesser developed countries' leaders will see developed country pressures for family planning as a form of economic or racial imperialism that could cause a backlash. But we can minimize these charges of an imperial motivation behind our population activities by repeatedly asserting that such support derives from a concern with the right of the individual couple to determine freely and responsibly, blah, blah, blah. You all know the language. Boilerplate, reproductive health. And secondly, increasing the standard of living of the people. Now notice it says, we will repeatedly assert this. We don't actually do this. We push reproductive rights and talk about the rights of women in Africa only so we can hold down their population.
Okay, sorry to stop there. I don't know where the time goes. Make sure you tune in and hear the next part of that fantastic talk.
With a many winding tongue that leads us to knows where.